All right, 1 Timothy chapter number 6 once again. 1 Timothy chapter number 6. You cannot get to heaven unless you trust the Lord Jesus Christ as your Savior. Okay, you've got to trust Christ your Savior in order to get to heaven. Having said that, if unsaved people will live according to the Bible, it will work in their lives. And if saved people live contrary to the Bible, their lives will be a disaster. You understand? The Bible's true and the Bible works. So anywhere in the world where biblical principles of work and finance have been applied and practiced, the people in those regions have flourished. When you are free to profit from your labor, when you are free to profit from your investment, everyone's situation within the realm is elevated and bettered because those are Bible principles. When no one benefits from their labor but the very top wealthiest people in a communist system or a state church, the religion dies, the industry dies because there's no biblical pattern, there's no biblical motivation to do your best for God and for reward. And so, as I've said many times, the farther our society moves away from the Bible, the more every aspect of our society crumbles. And the Bible says in 1 Timothy 6, let as many servants as are under the yoke, you're bearing the weight of labor, work, industry, employment, count their own masters worthy of all honor. Interesting words. The Bible didn't say that all of those for whom you work and labor are worthy of honor. The Bible asks you to count them as worthy of honor. Why? Will that better them? Why? Will that change them? No. But it will provide you with the proper motivation to do your best so that God and man can reward you. If you develop a bitter spirit toward an employer, an overlord, because you don't think he's, it doesn't affect him. He just replaces you. It doesn't affect him. He just rolls on doing the things he was doing. But it affects your desire to do your best, which affects you short term and long term. And so the Bible's asking you to approach labor with the right attitude, that the name of God and his doctrine be not blasphemed. It is a matter of biblical doctrine to go to work and work with the right attitude. Does that seem to be pervasive in your culture today? Not at all. In fact, it's almost gone. The spirit of I'm entitled to money I didn't work for, the spirit of I'm entitled to provisions that I haven't earned, the spirit of nobody's going to tell me what to do, it's an anti-biblical position. And it's all tied together with the true and living God being blasphemed, disrespected. Verse number 2. They that have believing masters, let them not despise them, because they are brethren, but rather do them service, because they are faithful and beloved, partakers of the benefit. These things teach and exhort. And so, suppose you were blessed to find out that the man who hired you is a saved man. You still better have the right attitude, because that saved man is going to ask you to work just like the lost man asked you to work. That saved man is going to pay you what you're worth just like the lost man would, not what you think you're entitled to. We'll get to that. It is important that you understand in every aspect of life, but our passage today is in this matter of business and industry. It's important that you understand a saved man who starts a business is just and righteous and having the same motivation as an unsaved man who starts a business, that is, to make money. And if that saved man hires you, it's to help him make money. The benefit of that for you is that if he makes money, you make money, and if he goes broke, you're out of a job. And the fact that you begrudge someone who's a Christian who employed you, who pushes you as hard as did an unsaved man who employed you, shows you have the wrong understanding of work before God. You're not hoping to get a Christian boss so you don't have to work. You're hoping to get a Christian boss so when he's pushing you, he's not using profanity. So that when he gives you your assignment, it's not crooked, it's not dishonest, you're not breaking the law. He's doing his best, you're doing your best. But the idea that we mentioned it this morning, I hired a Christian to work for me and they charged me full price. Don't they know I'm a brother in the Lord? If they don't get a discount at the hardware store, they can't give you a discount. When they go to the grocery store and say, listen, I'm saved. Oh, well, your food's going to cost what it did 3 years ago. No, it's not. The gas pump says 87, 89, 93. It doesn't say saved, push here, lost, push here. You don't get a discount for being a Christian. So the idea that the people who employ me should require less of me or I shouldn't have to pay them as much or they should pay me more, you're not thinking realistically. We all still have to live in the world. And the world doesn't give benefits to Christians. So you can't expect special treatment in that realm, except from God. Okay, so verse number 3. If any man teach otherwise and consent not to wholesome words, even the words of our Lord Jesus Christ, and the doctrine which is according to godliness. Now stop there for a minute. I've said this twice in two messages. I'm going to say again a third time. If your doctrine is limited to factual points about God, if your doctrine is limited to factual truths about the Son of God, if your doctrine is limited to the right layout of the prophetic future, and your doctrine doesn't affect how you live, you're being mistaught. You are not being given the truth from the Word of God that you need to get from the day you are saved until the day you go to heaven. And any man that teaches you that it's okay before God for you to do less than your best is not speaking wholesome words. Any man that teaches you ways to get around working for a living and providing for your own self and your own family by your own industry is not echoing the words of the Lord Jesus Christ. Your social worker and your preacher should both be telling you what the Bible says, not what the law allows you to get away with. Your government representative should be representing Scripture, and the people influencing your decision-making should be representing Scripture. And if your counselor, your financial advisor, your preacher, your dad, your spouse, if what they're telling you doesn't line up with the Bible, verse 4 says, he is proud, knowing nothing, but doting about questions and strifes of words, whereof cometh envy, strife, railings, evil surmisings, perverse disputings of men of corrupt minds, and destitute of the truth. That's pretty harsh words. Summarized, if someone tells you there's a way to get through life without working, don't listen to them. Because the alternative in some way or another is going to violate the Word of God. And to get ahead financially while violating the Word of God is a very, very bad choice. Verse number 9, jump ahead. They that will be rich fall into temptation, a snare, into many foolish and hurtful lusts, which drown men in destruction and perdition. There are shortcuts. There are bypasses. There are ways around. There are alternatives. But the end result of those things is often spiritual ruin. It's often the dissolution and the crumbling of your family. It certainly is evident that it brings about the weakening and eventually the doom of your nation. How do you have a $40 trillion federal debt, 50 state debts almost as large, county debt off the charts, city and town debt off the charts, and individual family debt drowning people in destruction, drowning people in perdition as they do what? Sin against God to try and dig themselves out of the hole they made, trying to get more than they had earned, spend more than they had earned, to purchase more than they could afford, to have more than they needed, to try and lay hold on a happiness that could only be found in a relationship with Jesus Christ, and they forsook that relationship to go after the money. What a trap. What a pit. Your nation is filled with people who in their minds tonight can't come to church. I've got to make some money. Can't stop and read their Bible in the morning. I've got to make some money. Can't come to a prayer meeting. I've got to make some money. And the reason they have to make some money is everything they think they have belongs to someone else. And they owe more than they can pay for the roof over their head, the car that they drive, the food in their pantry, and they're just hoping for a credit card debt limit or lending limit increase, or just hoping that one of these phone numbers that I call is going to make all of my all the money that I owe go away, and that somebody out there is going to help me pick the right numbers to win the lottery ticket and another divorce and another bruised child and another family dropping out of church and another bankrupt situation, because people thought there was a better way than the Bible way. And there isn't. There isn't in any area of life. Now let's go back to the start and work our way back to 1 Timothy. Come to Genesis chapter number 2. Genesis chapter 2. This is a beautiful scene. There's a man. He's living in a garden with no sin. He's married to the most beautiful woman on earth. Many a time, Adam turned to his wife and said, "Honey, believe me, there's nobody like you." The Bible says in Genesis 2 and verse 15, "And the Lord God took the man and put him into the Garden of Eden to dress it and to keep it." Man was made by God to work. And a man who is trying to find a way around work is trying to find a way around the purpose for which he was made. How can that lead to contentment? How can that lead to happiness? How can that lead to satisfaction? You are going to be frustrated not by your lack of wealth and not by your lack of possessions. You're going to be frustrated because you're not fulfilling the purpose for which God made you. And so many people in our towns, so many people in our cities, they're angry, they're disappointed, they're turning to crime or turning to drugs or turning to all kinds of vices. Why? Because they got nothing to do all day. And there's this energy and this strength and this intellect and these abilities that are given to everyone by God. And they have nothing to do with that. And so they either rot their brains on television or internet, or they take that energy and use it to commit crime and steal what they wouldn't work for. It's the Bible calls it drowning and perdition. Look in your Bible in Exodus chapter 20. God gave a set of commandments, 10 of them. One strangely never gets posted. Hundreds and thousands of times in my life, I've seen a place where the 10 commandments were posted, and what we're about to read is never included. Exodus 20, verse number 8, remember the Sabbath day to keep it holy. And you've seen that. The 10 commandments, that's number 4, and that's always there in the list. But why aren't these verses there? 6 days shalt thou labor and do all thy work, but the seventh day is the Sabbath of the Lord thy God. In it thou shalt not do any work, thou and thy son, to thy daughter, thy manservant, and thy maidservant, and thy cattle, the stranger within thy gates. For in 6 days the Lord made heaven and earth, the sea, and all that in them is, and rested the seventh day. Wherefore the Lord blessed the Sabbath day and hallowed it. The reason God established the seventh day to rest is because he had established 6 days for labor. If you haven't labored 6 days, you don't need a seventh day to rest. And if you have labored 6 days, you shouldn't be out of church laboring on the seventh day. There should be a day for God to worship God, and 6 days to honor God by doing what he commanded. When you say it's a commandment to rest on the seventh day, but you don't say it's a commandment to labor the other six, you're not properly representing the Word of God. When people come to me, and they do, and I appreciate that they do, and I'm very, very glad and very, very happy to help, but when they come to me and say, we just don't have enough money to meet our expenses, I ask them, how many hours a week do you work? And usually they say 35 or 40. Why did you stop after 40 if you didn't make enough to pay your bills? Amen. Well, isn't that how many hours you're supposed to work? Not if you're broke. Not if you can't pay your bills. Not if you want all the things you see on the advertisements. Keep going in these Ten Commandments. And look down at verse number 17. Thou shalt not covet thy neighbor's house. Thou shalt not covet thy neighbor's wife, nor his manservant, nor his maidservant, nor his ox, nor his ass, nor anything that is thy neighbor's. May I suggest to you that obedience to the labor commandment would go a long way toward enabling obedience to the not coveting commandment. If you worked as hard as your neighbor, you might have a house like your neighbor does. If you worked as hard as your neighbor, you might have property like your neighbor has. If you worked as hard as your neighbor, you might have an ox to plow with instead of out there with a hoe and a... You understand, it's interesting how these Ten Commandments, one obeying one certainly helps with the other. Look in verse number 15. Thou should not steal. Why do people steal? Well, they want things they don't have. What's the Bible way to get things that you don't have? Work and purchase them. That's a novel idea. Matthew chapter 20. Let's go there. Timothy referenced the words of our Lord Jesus Christ, Matthew chapter 20. And verse number 1. The kingdom of heaven is like unto a man that is a householder, which went out early in the morning to hire laborers into his vineyard. I've said this many, many times. It needs to be said. The communist infiltration of our schools and the communist infiltration of our media is creating a mindset in our nation whereby people despise those who have more than they do. The poor despise the middle class. The middle class despises the upper class. The upper class despises the ultra rich. If someone doesn't own a large vineyard that is making them plenty of money, they're not hiring you. The only way you're going to get a job is to get it from someone who has more than you do. Once you get that job, the only way you can advance is to find someone else who has even more than the man you're working for, or to increase the wealth of the man you're working for, and he can bring you up with him. And this communist idea that if we just took all the rich people's money away from them and gave them to the poor people, you don't have any idea how few of these quote-unquote super rich people there are and how many other people would have to get a piece of that pie before we're all equal. And if you could do that tomorrow, in a few very short years, it would be right back where it started. You don't believe it? Your country, the wealthiest nation on earth, if you take out the $40 trillion debt and all the state debt and all the county debt and all the municipal debt, every year, for decades, we've poured billions of dollars into third world countries that are still third world countries. Why? Because the people at the top took the money and put it in Swiss bank accounts and bought themselves resorts in the Caribbean, and it just, you can't make it work. Because without God, without the Bible, without integrity, without honesty, redistribution of wealth is just a temporary matter between the time you take it from someone and give it to someone else and the person you took it from figures out how to get it back. It's better to go the Bible route. Work, get by. If the best you can do is get by, teach your child the work, get your child a little better training, and they can do better than you did. And your grandson can do better than his father did. And your great-grandson can do better than his. And so, where does that break down? When you throw away the Bible, and you put disincentives on hard work, and you demonize success and accomplishment. Now keep reading what Jesus said here. So this man, verse number 2, he went and agreed with the laborers for a penny a day. He sent them into his vineyard. You say, a penny a day, that's a living wage in the time in which this is written. And so he agrees to give them a living wage. And he went out about the third hour and saw others standing idle in the marketplace and said to them, go ye also into the vineyard. Whatsoever is right, I will give you. And they went their way. And again, he went out about the sixth and ninth hour and did likewise. And about the 11th hour, he went out and found others standing idle and saith unto them, why stand ye here all the day idle? They say unto him, because no man hath hired us. He saith unto them, go ye also into the vineyard, and whatsoever is right, that shall ye also receive. So when even was come, the Lord of the vineyard saith unto his steward, call the laborers, give them their hire, beginning from the last unto the first. May I ask you, according to the Bible, Exodus chapter 20, how many days are in a work week? 6 days. May I ask you, according to the Bible, how many hours are in a work day? 12. Here's all I'm telling you. Before you say, I can't pay my bills, Have you worked 6/12s? Consistently. So I don't, what would I couldn't work that much. When would I watch movies? When would I play video games? When would I sit around and play Monopoly with the family? If we were at war, and would you want soldiers that quit after 8 hours? Would you want soldiers that put in 40 hours a week and said, that's it? Well, 1 Timothy 6 says, we're in a fight. We're in a war. Fight for your home, for your family, for your spiritual life, for your country. We might not be able to keep going at it like we did in the glory days of American prosperity. It doesn't do any good to throw numbers out, because everything changes on a daily basis. You know what people, your parents, my parents, you know what they paid for a brand new car, and you know what they paid for their house, you know how low their mortgage was. You've all seen the pictures of what groceries cost back in the dark ages when I was a child. That's not the point. The point is, before I get on my knees and pray and say, God, you've got to help me because I can't meet my expenses, are you laboring biblically? Or are you laboring as an American culture would suggest to you is sufficient? I mean, if groceries cost more, I just might have to work more. If the price of gasoline goes up, I might just have to stay at work a little bit longer. It's an idea. Or maybe I could spend less. I know some people's job requires them to be online. But your life doesn't have to be online. And if you don't, do you have to have the newest phone every time it comes out? So you can play solitaire faster? Wow, the graphics on the back of these cards are really great. Just buy a deck of cards and turn in your $900 phone. Waste time the old-fashioned way. Ephesians 4, New Testament, Ephesians chapter 4. My objective biblically should be to pay my bills. My objective biblically should be to provide for my family. My objective biblically should be to support the work of the gospel at home and around the world. Ephesians 4:28. Let him that stole steal no more, but rather let him labor, working with his hands the thing which is good, that he may have to give to him that needeth. How about that? So the Lord wants me to work, and he wants me to work and pay my way through life, and he wants me to work and carry my family through life, and he wants me to work and be able to give, as the Bible said, we saw it Thursday night, every Christian on the first day of the week giving unto God. Now, if I can't support myself and I can't provide for my family and I can't give to God on the first day of the week, I should A, work longer, work harder, and I should B, stop spending money on things I don't have to spend money on. Now, 1 Timothy 6 says, if someone doesn't tell you that, don't listen to them. If someone tells you there's a righteous alternative to working harder and spending more wisely, they're proud, they know nothing, and they're going to drown you. don't say anything. It's okay. It's okay. Proverbs 14. Proverbs chapter 14. So I've never been taught these things. I never had a seminar on these things. My generation absorbed these things from the very culture in which we lived. You can't absorb it from the culture in which you live today. Somebody has to teach you these things. Proverbs 14, verse 23, in all labor there is profit, but the talk of the lips tendeth only to penury. You want to be poor? Just sit on and talk all day. Text all day. Social media all day. Do nothing productive all day long and then hope God works a miracle in your life. Got to work a miracle in your life. Go apply for a job and get one. What a miracle. When you get it, do your best. Now listen, this has been proven millions and millions of times, some of them in the Bible, the rest from testimony. By faith, God is asking you to believe if you will work and do your best. Be the best employee your employer has. Be the best employer your employees have ever worked for. Give to God. Provide for your family. Don't cheat. Don't steal. Don't covet. Do you not believe that God could make what you earn go as far as it needed to go? See, what people want to do is disobey God and then ask God to make up the difference. God said, no, here's what I want you to obey me and then I'll make up the difference. There are rich people in the Bible. We'll talk about some of them in future lessons. There are poor people in the Bible. We'll talk about some of them in future lessons. But there was a widow woman, and she and her son were just about to starve to death, and a preacher came to town, and he said, God would have you fix me a meal. And she said, I've got enough left for one last supper with my boy, and then we're going to die of starvation. And that preacher said, God wants you to fix me a meal. And God filled her barrel every day until the famine was over, and God filled her cruse of oil every day until the famine was over, not because she said, well, let me just trust God and see if God works a miracle, but because she put God first in her life in spite of her circumstances, and then God worked the miracle. And God's, and we'll get back to 1 Timothy in a minute. Those false teachers who tell you go around Bible principles and just trust God. That's the same lie they tell about every false doctrine. This disrespect for the scripture in the name of lifting up the Lord is a lie. It's falsehood. All right, let's come back to 1 Timothy chapter 6. 1 Timothy chapter 6. Verse number 5, as we consider this morning, people suppose that gain is godliness, from such withdraw thyself. But godliness with contentment is great gain. So I have a note in my Bible margin. I don't know who said it, but I'm glad they did. You are only poor when you desire more than what you have. Here the Bible says, having food and raiment, let us be therewith content. That's pretty tough. Pretty tough. Matthew chapter 6. Let's go there. Matthew chapter number 6. You might have heard of the Sermon on the Mount. Matthew chapter number 6. Verse 25, therefore I say unto you, take no thought for your life, what you shall eat, what you shall drink, nor yet for your body, what you shall put on. Is not life more than meat, the body than raiment? Behold the fowls of the air, they sow not, neither they reap, nor gather into barns, yet your heavenly Father feedeth them. Are ye not much better than they? Which of you, by taking thought, can add one cubit unto his stature? Why take ye thought for raiment? Consider the lilies of the field, how they grow, they toil not, neither they spin. Yet I say unto you, that even Solomon in all his glory was not arrayed like one of these. Wherefore, if God so clothe the grass of the field, which today is and tomorrow is cast in the oven, should he not much more clothe you, O ye of little faith? Therefore, take no thought, saying, what shall we eat, or what shall we drink, or wherewithal shall we be clothed? For after all these things the Gentile seek, for your heavenly Father knoweth ye have need of all these things. That's interesting. All these things, two. All these things is food and clothing. When we say, I need all these things, it's more than two. But Jesus Christ said, look, do what I ask you to do, and I'll take care of the food and I'll take care of the clothing. You'll have all these things. Wait. Verse 33, but seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things should be added unto you. Now, all these things in the passage is food and clothing. Here's what God said. If you will seek righteousness, obeying what is right, I'll make sure you have food and I'll make sure you have clothing. And you could be content with that as opposed to having, come on, let's be fair, the thousands of things Americans have without contentment. There was a day in our nation, and you know this is true, when a man got up, went to work, wife packed him a little lunch, children got up, went to the one-room schoolhouse, they came home, no electricity, no indoor plumbing, no entertainment. Maybe sang a song on the porch, maybe read a little Bible. And they weren't suicidal. They didn't need uppers and downers. They didn't need sleeping pills. They didn't need stimulants. They didn't need antidepressants. Why? Because that man was content with his wife and she was content with her husband. They were happy to have a roof over their head and children playing in their floor. And they got together on Sunday morning and walked down to the church house and sang and prayed and heard a sermon. And that was pretty much their entertainment for the week. But now you've got a generation of people who have been raised with a window into the world. And all their life they've seen what they don't have. The man they don't have, the glamorous woman they don't have, the car they don't have, the lifestyle of the rich and famous they don't have, the fine dining they don't have, the health they don't have. And people just sit day and night and stare at a device that makes them discontent. You don't have this, you don't have that, you didn't go here, you didn't go there, you don't live like these people. What do you have? Oh, I guess nothing. But fear not, because here come the commercials. If you'll buy this beer, the girls will show up. If you'll eat these potato chips, there'll be a party in your house. If you'll take these pills, you'll be young again. All that advertising that comes on after the devil has shown you the kingdoms of the world and the glory of them in a moment of time or an hour program, all the advertisements are, you're not happy yet because you haven't bought this. But you will be happy if you buy this. And if you can't afford it, we'll take 5 easy payments. Visa, MasterCard, Amex. Now we got to pay an extra 1% for that. We're not taking American Express. But you can have it now, and it will be delivered in 5 business days, and then you'll be happy. All the ads are to show you what you don't have. And all the ads are to tell you if you just had this, you'd be content. And walk up and down your street and see if you can find someone who's content. When you get to work tomorrow, say, anybody here thrilled to have a job? They will gripe before they clock in. And they will be griping until they leave, and they'll gripe when they get home about how bad it was at work today. You know what the Lord said? You're not going to find contentment in your pursuit of riches. 1 Timothy 6, verse number 9. They that will be rich, it's an act of the will. The riches are not the problem. They will be rich fall into temptation and a snare, into many foolish and hurtful lusts, which drown men in destruction and perdition. For the love of money is the root of all evil, which while some coveted after, they've erred from the faith and pierced themselves through with many sorrows. All right, now look. Almost finished here. Look. The faith. You're made to work. So it's just men. Have you read Proverbs 31? That woman's up getting her husband ready to go to work. And she's taking care of the kids after he's come home and gone to sleep in the recliner. She's working. The Bible lays out work, number of days to work, number of hours to work, the attitude with which to work. And the Bible says, if you're trying to advance without following the Bible principles, you are erring. You're in error from the faith, and it's going to result in sorrow. You just can't beat the old-fashioned Bible work ethic. And you just can't beat being content to know the Lord Jesus Christ. We all put on our best self when we come here, which is kind of scary, because if this is our best. but listen. So when we come to church, I mentioned this morning, when we come to church, We lay aside whatever differences we might have, and we talk happily and contentedly with one another. How you doing? How's it going? You have a good week? Feeling good? That prayer get answered? And then we sing together. And then we pray together. And then we open the Bible together. And then on the way out the door, we some more happy visit and fellowship, and you here tonight, I'm not talking about the rest, you here tonight, you just keep coming back and keep coming back and keep coming back, because it's such a blessing. Well, what if you went home and laid aside your differences and just had a happy conversation? What if you sang some songs of praise to the Lord? What if you said some prayer? What if you read the Bible and then had some more happy conversation? If it's so good here, it can be that good there. And it's so good here without electronics and without games and without entertainment and without showing movies. And we set aside our family for the promotion of covetousness. And we set aside fellowship with our loved ones for more advertisements to remind us of more things we don't yet have. And we could be as happy at home as we are here. if we just conduct ourselves at home like we do here. If we just made it a house of worship like this is, and a house of Christian fellowship like this is. You don't have to have all that stuff to be happy. You don't get all that stuff when you come here and you're happy. What if our home wasn't the place where we just looked at catalogs and looked at magazines. I'm old. If it just wasn't all day long, oh, look what he has. Oh, look how pretty she is. Oh, look how well her surgery turned out. Oh, look at what the protein mix did for that 98-pound weakling. I wish I was him. I wish I was her. I wish I had that. People sit all day and look at TV programs about other people's houses. You have one? What's for supper? Nothing. Why not? I've been watching the Food Channel all day. It's so weird. So here's what I'd tell all you young men, all you young ladies. Get a job, any job, and learn to work. And then take that ability, the ability to work, and market that to a man who's, I saw an ad this week posted, advertisement, and it said, now hiring someone who will show up having bathed and will stick it out more than 2 weeks. How pathetic has your country become when you have to be asked to come to work having taken a bath and stick it out for half a month? The government's not your problem. The rich aren't your problem. Your problem is somebody handed you everything you ever had your entire life, and now you're putting your hand out, nobody's putting anything in it, and you think they're supposed to. And they're not. Dads, moms, what in the world are you doing cleaning the house while your kids sit and watch you? Why in the world are you taking the dishes off the table when you put the food on them? Why are you sweating mowing the yard while your kid is trying to throw a ball through a hoop? You better teach those kids to work, or somebody's going to teach them how to ride the welfare train, and they're going to be offended when they hear the Bible preached. Amen. I've said this so many times, you're tired of hearing it, but I never got why I had to make my bed. It only serves one purpose, me sleeping in it. Nobody's coming to our house to look and see if I made my bed. Why do you have to straighten up your closet? You just close the doors. Nobody's looking in the kids' closet when they come over to the house, unless they're weird. But then I got a job. And the guy said, do this. And I didn't say, why? I don't see any point in that. He said, well, how'd you learn that? Well, because a couple of times I told my dad, why do I have to make my bed? I don't see any point in that. And I didn't want my employer to take his belt off and and use it on me. You're not making your child do chores. You're teaching your child to be employable. And if you can learn to be employable, you can provide for yourself and for your family and for your church, and you can be content. Amen. All right, Father, thank you for the Bible. Our country is so far gone, it's hard to even pray for it. But I pray for the people here that are living in this country that you'd help them to believe that they still do things the Bible way, it would still bring about the Bible blessings. And we thank you for it in Jesus' name and amen.